The Word of God tells us how to be a family. And we want to study that today. Because not only are we a family, Ephesians 4, verse 3 says, do everything to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We don't have to be united. Christ has united us. It's our call to live out that fact. And I know that you're here today because you want to live out that fact. This room is full of people that want to be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? Our Lord Jesus says this in John 13, 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I have given to you, love one another. How do we do that? The New Testament is full of statements with the word one another. It's a single Greek word. It's one Greek word, one another. And the New Testament tells us how to treat one another. Because not only are we a family, but we are a body. Would you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 12 and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Praise his holy name. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body. Who composed the body? Giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. Will you pray with me, please? Just take a few moments, please, while you're standing and pray right now that God would help you as we trace this phrase, one another, through the New Testament. That God would speak to your heart, speak the truth into your heart, teach you and train you to be a member of his body. Please take a few moments right now and pray for the other members in this room, perhaps the member in front of you or behind you, to your right or to your left, that as we trace this word one another through the New Testament, that God would teach and train them to be a member of his body. Now would you please pray for me that I would preach accurately, that I would truly deliver the truth of God's word to you today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be guided by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As I said, what we're going to do now is we're going to trace the phrase one another through the New Testament. I want you to know what I'm doing today because I don't want you to think this is an expository message. I just read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27 to you, and what you might expect is now for us to walk through that verse by verse. And that is absolutely the best way to do a sermon. But I want you to know up front that that is not what I'm going to do right now. I've taken that passage to teach that we're the body, but now we're going to trace the phrase one another through the New Testament. How do we treat one another according to God's word? When you have an injury, your whole body is devoted to taking care of the injured part. I've had injuries before. I've sprained my ankle. I've had knee surgery. I've done all kinds of stuff when I was a kid playing sports and so on. And when I sprain my ankle or something like that, your whole body is devoted to getting that better. You change your schedule. You spend money. You go to the doctor. You might go to the hospital. You might get surgery. Every part of your body is devoted to helping the injured part. And God wants us to function as a body. Amen? God wants us to function as a body. In this beautiful country, we are too individualistic. It's me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus. And I know that you're part of my church and we're all church members. But really, all I'm focused on is me and Jesus, and that's not what God wants. God wants us to function as a body. And God wants us to grow together. Look at Romans 12, 10 behind me on the screen. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Be devoted to one another. That's one Greek word. I think you have it on the back page of your notes. It's one Greek word, but it's two parts. Philos means friend, and then storge means family love. And the word is philostorgos. There it is behind me on the screen. Philos is the Greek word for friend. Storge is the Greek word for family love. And the word on the top there is philostorgos. And it means the mutual love between parents and children, or the mutual love between husbands and wives. It is family love, Trinity Baptist. And Paul in Romans 12 acknowledges that we are a family and commands us to be devoted to one another with family love. That's how we should treat each other. I want to give you 9 ways to be devoted to one another. Number 1 in your notes, we should serve one another. We should serve one another. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? He makes this statement in John chapter 13. It's behind me on the screen. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. There's the phrase. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Paul repeats it in Galatians 5, 13 and 14. You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Isn't that awesome? The whole law is fulfilled in one word. And that one word is love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Actually, the word there is not referring to one word, but one statement. Trinity Baptist, in 2016, we devoted ourselves to praying for one another. And many of you came forward in 2016 and said, "Pastor Dave, I will pray for 12 people. Please give me 12 people." And about 35 or 36 of you came up and you received 12 people to pray for. We're going to renew that commitment in 2017. And it's very important that we renew that commitment. And let me tell you why. First of all, some of you are praying for people that are no longer part of our church, which is fine. But some of you are praying for people that have left Trinity Baptist Church. But my main concern is this. Some of you here came to Trinity in 2016, and no one has you on their list. There are people in this room that are not on any of the lists of 12. We need to renew those lists in 2017. If you committed for 2016, thank you so much for doing that. Your commitment ends on December 31st. But I'm going to come in January and say, would you please commit to praying for another 12 people for 2017? But Trinity Baptist Church, praying for each other is not obeying the whole New Testament. Praying for each other is not the end of loving one another. Praying for each other is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. So in 2017, I'm going to ask you to commit to praying for 12 people again. But I'm going to ask you to go beyond that. In 2017, I'm going to give you a list of 12 people to pray for the year, 12 members of Trinity Baptist Church, but I'm also going to ask you not only to pray for them, but to serve them. To serve them. Because praying for each other is just the beginning of loving each other. Number two in your notes, we should admonish one another. We should admonish one another. This comes from Romans 15:14. It's behind me on the screen, and it says this: "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to admonish one another." Look closely at that verse. Look closely at verse. We talk about admonishing one another, and you might think, I don't want someone to admonish me. That doesn't sound very nice. That doesn't sound very loving. But look at the verse. If you are filled with goodness and knowledge, you admonish. You're filled with goodness and knowledge, you admonish. Admonishing is an act of love. Is an act of love. When we're driving, we have blind spots, right? We have blind spots. That's why you have three mirrors. And even with three mirrors, even with a mirror on your left and a mirror on your right and a rear view mirror in front of you, you still have to turn around and check your blind spot, don't you? You know what? Trinity Baptist Church, I have blind spots in my spiritual life. I have blind spots. My temptations, the world, my sinful flesh, Satan and his demons, they tempt me. My sinful flesh has sinful desires, and as a result, I have blind spots. And you know who I need to show me my blind spots? I need you. I need you to show me my blind spots. And you need me, and you need each other. And that's why we're supposed to admonish one another. The Bible says a lot about helping each other with our struggles with sin. That's what we're supposed to do. Galatians 6:2 gives us the next one. This is number three in your notes. We should bear one another's burdens. We should bear one another's burdens. What does that mean? In fact, please turn to Galatians 6, because you have to see it in context to truly understand the meaning. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, that's sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. It's talking about sin. We're to restore one another. But look at verse 2. Right after verse 1, it says, bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. I'm guessing that you traveled for Thanksgiving. You might have had Thanksgiving at your house. You might have traveled to someone else's. My family traveled to my wife's mother's house for Thanksgiving, where my wife's brother and family were there. And when there's traveling, we drove down there and we had luggage. You put luggage in the trunk, or you put luggage in the back of your car, and you travel and you take the luggage out. And sometimes the luggage is really heavy. I've traveled overseas where a single suitcase can barely be lifted. I've had a 40-pound, 50-pound suitcase traveling overseas. And we've all seen where someone is struggling for the luggage, and another family member will do what? I'll get that for you. We might see the kids carrying one. You might see little kids carrying one piece of luggage together, or the man will grab a luggage. They'll help each other with the luggage. That's the same idea here. We're supposed to help each other with our luggage. And what's my luggage? It's my battle against sin. I need your help. And you need mine. My daily struggle with temptation, my daily struggle with this sinful flesh, Jesus has set me free from sin, amen? But I'm still in this body. My salvation is not complete. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've been set free, but I have to walk in my sinful flesh. And I struggle with sin and temptation every single day, and often I give in. I need your help, and you need mine. And that's why it is not enough to listen to a sermon on the radio. It is not enough to watch church on television. It's not enough to download a sermon on the internet. You have to be part of the body. Because we need to help each other. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Number 4 in your notes. We should show tolerance for one another in love. This is from Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, behind me on the screen. And it says this, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Brothers and sisters, I am not always easy to love. And neither are you. And we have to show tolerance for one another. We can't give up on one another. Amen? We call to be patient with each other. This Greek word, show tolerance, means to hold yourself up. To hold yourself up. And I want you to picture another brother or sister in Christ that is difficult to love. And their words and their actions and their shortcoming and their sin are just pushing you down, pushing you down, pushing you down. And Paul says, stand firm and love that person. The same Greek word is used in Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. Behind me on the screen it says this: "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Here's the same Greek word as show tolerance: bearing with one another and forgiving each other. "Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." And there's our fifth one right there. Number five in your notes: we should forgive one another. We should forgive one another. That's from the end of Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, behind me on the screen. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you." This is so important to Christianity. Isn't this what we're all about? Forgiveness. The message of forgiveness is what we are all about. And we should be united in sending one message to this community: this is a place of forgiveness. God forgives us, and we forgive each other. And if this community, if these streets right here, and the people at this school right here, you know what they want to experience? Forgiveness. They want to be able to come to a place where they can experience God's forgiveness, but also they want to come to a place where if they disappoint us, we will forgive them. And they can see that we forgive each other. Number six in your notes: we should regard one another as more important than ourselves. So important. So important. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, 3. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." When our Lord Jesus died on the cross, it was the ultimate act of unselfishness. And we are called to imitate Christ, amen? But the good news is, if you're truly a believer, then Christ lives in your heart. And this Christ, who humbled himself to the point of death on a cross, has the power and the desire to fill you with sacrificial love. And in 2017, brothers and sisters, I want to call you to not only pray for one another, but to love one another. When you come up and you take 12 people to pray for, I want you to pray for them diligently on a daily basis for 1 year. But I want you to look at those 12 people and say, how can I love them this year? How can I sacrificially love them for their spiritual growth? I want to love them all year. Imagine the blessing that that will be for you and for them. Imagine what this church is going to look like if, in the power of the Holy Spirit, most of you are praying for, serving, admonishing, encouraging, and loving one another. I can't wait for 2017. Number seven in your notes: we should encourage one another and build one another up. We should encourage one another and build up one another. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Chris and Gary Lynn have come up here and talked about redoing the sanctuary. That's a building campaign, right? And while I was on sabbatical and my family was on sabbatical, you all came together and redid the foyer. That's a building campaign. And sometimes churches will be in a growth phase and they will build a new building. I don't know if you realize that, but this is not the original sanctuary of Trinity Baptist Church. The original sanctuary didn't even face this way. Tom, was it reversed? Right. And now it's this way still. Excellent. The original building was significantly smaller and faced the other way. I'd be standing, Tom would be preaching. Tom says no. Okay. But we built a new building. It's much bigger than the old one. And it's beautiful. And often churches are on building campaigns. But what you don't realize is that every single church should be on a building campaign always. Every church should always be building. One another. It's good to build a building like this. But Scripture does not command us to build a building. Scripture commands us to build each other. And you should be looking at the other people in this room saying, I am devoting myself in 2017 to building up those people in Christ. That's what we're called to do. I've given you this statement in your notes. There's no blanks, but it should be down on the bottom of the first page and behind me on the screen. It says this: Trinity Baptist Church will never be the church it's called to be until each member is truly devoted to the spiritual health of the other members. When you're in your devotional time, when you're in your quiet time, it's not enough to be praying for your own spiritual growth. We need to all be praying that we would grow together. Number 8 in your notes, fervently love one another from the heart. Fervently love one another from the heart. That's from 1 Peter 1:22. Which says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. I want to say something real quick, just practical. And I'm not saying this because I notice it as a problem here, because actually the opposite is true. I notice you doing what I'm about to encourage you to do. So I want to remind you to excel still more. But love one another does not simply mean love the members that are like you. Love the members that are my age. Love the members that are my status. Love the members that I have something in common with. Love the members that are my friends. Love the members that love me. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says love one another. And I see you doing that, and I want you to excel still more. You know that love is not an emotional thing. The media teaches that. TV and movies and books and music teach that love is an emotional thing. And on TV or in movies or on the internet, when a guy says, I love you to a girl, or when a girl says, I love you to a guy, it's an emotional thing. It's a feeling. This is foreign to these biblical commands. Love one another is not a feeling. It is a decision of the will. And it has nothing to do with the character or lovableness. Can you let me use that word? I'll tell you how to spell it after church. It has nothing to do with the character of person being loved. And it has everything to do with the character of the person doing the loving. The command to love one another, I'm not supposed to love you because you have good character. I'm supposed to love you because I am called to have good character. It's not about you, it's about me. Last one, number 9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. That's from 1 Peter 4. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And again, Trinity Baptist Church, I can only encourage you and say, good job. Keep up the good work. My beautiful wife and I have been here for 20 years, and I have seen you be in each other's homes all the time. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. In 2016, we prayed for one another, and you did a great job. You did a great job. 30 or 40 of you came up to me and said, Pastor, I'll pray for 12 people. In 2017, we're going to step up our game. In 2017, we're going to do more than pray for each other. We're going to love each other. In the first of the year, not on January 1st, but as the year begins, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to say, please come up to me and say, Pastor, I'll pray for 12 people for 2017. But know this, when you come up to me, I'm going to say number 10 in your notes. Being devoted to one another begins with praying for each other, but it must not end there. Being devoted to one another begins with praying for each other, but it must not end there. The Bible calls us to love one another. And 2017 at Trinity Baptist Church is going to be about loving one another. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray. First Thessalonians 3:12 says this, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all the people, just as we also do for you. And that's my prayer for you, Trinity, and I hope it's your prayer for me, that your love for one another would increase and abound. So, gracious Heavenly Father, we're here. We're here. We're incomplete saints. You've saved us. You've set us free from sin. But you're building us into the people we ought to be, and you're not done yet with any of us. So, Heavenly Father, our prayer collectively right now is that Trinity Baptist Church would increase and abound in love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.